Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Well, if you haven't guessed it from that hymn or from all the read, today is Reformation Day, the Eve of All Saints, All Hallows Eve, Halloween. And so a little bit of everything this morning. We'll save the trick-or-treating for later, where you can mock the devil and cause heartache to your dentist and that sort of thing. 493 years ago on this day, an Augustinian friar and a professor at Wittenberg University named Martin Luther posted 95 theses in Latin for theological discussion concerning principally the sale of indulgences. He nailed them to the castle church door at Wittenberg, which was the town bulletin board. No act of vandalism there, and so don't go around Catholic churches today nailing things to their door. It's not nice. Or if you do, use scotch tape, I suppose. It was a bulletin board. And so began what we now call the Reformation of the Western Catholic Church. Now, when you reform something, you don't start from scratch. You try your best to conserve what is good, and what can't be fixed, you set aside. It's a little bit different than the approach I'm taking with my front yard. I assessed my front yard, and I decided there was nothing salvageable there. And so I'm just systematically, slowly but surely, scraping the thing back to bare earth. We're just starting over. That's precisely what the Reformation did not do, or at least the Lutheran Reformation. It was a conservative Reformation, a reform of what was there, not a starting over. Reformations tend to be conservative by their very nature. It is more like pruning a tree or trimming a perennial bush. You don't dig out the whole plant and put in another one, nor do you whack down the whole tree to the root, but you selectively and skillfully and discernedly and carefully prune it. Luther did not intend to split an already fractured church into more pieces, nor did he ever intend to start a new church. There is actually no such thing as the Lutheran Church. You might want to ponder that this Reformation Day. The Lutheran Church is not really an entity. There are Lutheran churches. Tis true, our confessions talk about what our churches teach and confess. But there's no such thing as a monolithic Lutheran church, although we gather our churches together into synods and other things like that. Luther didn't intend to start a new church, did not like it when they called followers of the gospel Lutherans, as though Lutherans had invented the gospel. This wasn't about shaking a defiant fist at the Pope, although Luther did do a bit of that later on. We all get kind of crabby in our old age, you know, and so you know, Luther did a bit of fist shaking, and I think deservedly so for what the Pope did. And nor was the Reformation about, and you hear this today, some breaking away from the big, bad Catholic Church. Nor is it some sort of pure church that emerged from an impure church. This is about Reformation. Correcting what is wrong, conserving what is right. And so it is today. You hear the saying, and it's true, the church is always and ever being reformed. It's not just a one-time deal. It's not just one guy, Martin Luther. The Lutheran churches are ever being reformed. This church, this congregation is ever being reformed. Each of us is ever being reformed. And it's not simply a once-and-done deal where you can then rest on your laurels for the rest of your life. There's always error. There's always drift. There's always this little sideways current or this wind that blows the good ship of the church slightly off course, and she needs to be brought back again. And that's true for each one of us as justified sinners, too. We are always in need of reformation, and the Word is always reforming us. It's not about once saved, always saved, or once baptized, always in, or once confirmed, always Lutheran. You hear that one a lot. You know, I was confirmed a Lutheran. Well, you know, that's good. That's good. Are you still one? Do you still believe, teach, and confess what Lutherans do? That's what matters. Lutherans are ever in need of reformation. Our baptism is not a one-time thing, but it's a daily thing. Our catechism reminds us of that. Daily dying, daily rising, the old man drowning, the new man rising, a daily reformation in baptism. Jesus spoke some harsh words to the Jews who had believed in him. The verse before this speaks of many coming to believe in him, and now we learn of those who no longer believed in him. They used to believe, but they didn't anymore. See, there's no once believed, always believing kind of security here. No one dare take the gift of faith lightly. What went wrong? Why didn't they believe anymore? Did God fail? Did the word fail to do its faith-creating, sustaining, enlivening work? No, they refused. They refused. They refused to trust this Jesus. They turned from the word of Jesus, and each of us is free to do that too. Faith is born of the word. Faith is fed by the word. Faith is sustained by the word. And without the word, faith dies. They no longer believed in him. And so Jesus says to them, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Being a disciple of Jesus is not like being a member of a political party or being a member of the local gardening club. We can claim any sort of affiliation we want for ourselves. We can even call ourselves Christians or Lutherans. But to be a disciple of Jesus is to abide in the word of Jesus. That is to be connected to Jesus by hearing his word and having his word have its faith-creating way with us. That same word, abide, is used in Jesus saying of the vine and the branches. A branch abides in the vine and it draws its life from it. If you cut off the branch from the vine so that it no longer abides in the vine, it is fruitless, dried up, and dead. Cut off from the word, faith is fruitless, dried up, and dead. But there is this promise for those who abide in the word. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus himself is the truth incarnate, the truth in our flesh. His word is truth. To abide in the truth is to abide in Jesus, which is the only place where a sinner may abide safely in the presence of God. Because the truth is that we are sinful. We're not simply ones who commit sin, that is, do bad things, think bad thoughts, say bad words. But it goes much deeper than that. We are, as Jesus says, slaves to sin with a capital S. Slaves to sin. Whoever sins, Jesus says, is a slave to sin. Do you sin? Well, in case you're not sure, the commandments say that you do. Test it. Do you fear, love, and trust in God above all things? Above all things? Do you use the name of God rightly in your worship and prayer? Do you gladly hear and learn God's word? Do you honor father, mother, and other temporal authorities? Do you help your neighbor in every physical need? And that's every neighbor. Do you keep marriage pure? Do you encourage others to do the same? Do you help your neighbor protect his property? Do you defend the reputation of others by putting the best construction on everything they say and do? Do you desire what doesn't belong to you? Are you content with what you have? If you checked no to any of the above questions, then you are a slave to sin, just as Israel was once a slave in Egypt, a fact that the Jews who had believed in Jesus seem to have conveniently forgotten. And that's how it goes. You're freed from slavery, and then pretty soon you forget you were ever enslaved. That's why we still have the law. We are the offspring of Abraham, and we've never been enslaved to anyone. What about those 400 years or so in Egypt we seem to have forgotten? See, that's pride talking, and a very unusual form of pride. The worst form of pride, spiritual pride. Receiving a gift from God and then acting as though we had earned it all along. Or forgetting entirely that it's a gift, and therefore forgetting entirely the giver. We are born enslaved, slaves to sin, slaves to death. We cannot free ourselves. We're stuck. And any attempts at self-liberation only make matters worse. When we look into the law seeking guidance, we find a mirror that turns out to be a magnifying mirror. Even things we thought were pretty good, even those places where we thought we didn't need forgiveness, even the places where we felt justified, turn out to be so riddled with sin that we barely recognize the good. If we say we have no sin, John says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. The mere fact that we sin in thought, in word, in action tells us that we are slaves to sin. A slave remains for a while, a son remains forever. A slave and a son are different. The son came down to us. The son joined us in our humanity. The son stood side by side with the slave to free us. He paid the price of manumission, the price of our liberty. He redeemed us. He did the law flawlessly in every respect and without sin. He was not enslaved by sin. He was Lord over it. And as Lord, he came under the law that accuses us, that gives our consciences no rest, that kills us. He took up our sin. He took up our death. He nailed it to his own cross. The son became a slave so that we who are slaves might become sons. And if the son sets you free, my friends, you are truly free indeed. You see, that's what Martin Luther discovered when he looked at the cross of Jesus. And for the first time in his life, he saw mercy instead of merit. He saw undeserved kindness instead of an example to follow. When he heard that phrase, the righteousness of God, and recognized that this was not something you worked for, but something that was granted to you as a gift through faith. And in his fear and despair, he finally heard that the law of God, no matter how holy and good and just it is, no matter how holy and good and just you may be, cannot save you. It can only drive you to Jesus seeking his mercy, which is what it's supposed to do. The law is not there to make you good. It can't. The law is there to shut every mouth, including yours, so that no one may boast in spiritual pride before God. Through the commandment comes knowledge of sin. But the good news that propelled the Reformation is that God declares the unrighteous to be righteous. He says so. He justifies the ungodly. He declares the sinner holy and righteous in the holiness and the righteousness of Jesus. All have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God, all are justified by God's grace, a gift given freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus by faith in his blood. In Jesus, you are free. Free from the commandments, free from the obligations of the law, free from the law's condemnation, free from enslavement to sin and death, free to live before God as a justified sinner, as a child of God, not a slave, free to serve your neighbor in love. The slave is made a son, a child, an heir. And should you doubt this and wonder, does this apply to me? Remember this, you're baptized. Baptism, those are your papers, your adoption papers. The slave is now a son with the full rights as sons and heirs. You have a place at the table. You have a permanent place in your father's house. At Luther's funeral, they read Revelation 14 about the angel with the eternal gospel, and they saw Luther in that text. They said, see, he was even prophesied in the scriptures. Well, that was a little overblown, yes, certainly. But it was a reminder that God intends that every person from every nation and tribe and language and people hear this good news and believe it. God wishes that all be free in Christ, that all hear these freeing words. The Son became a slave to make the slave a son. Humanity finds its freedom and its life in Jesus, and every human being must hear it. Not all will believe it. Some will believe it for a while, as the Jews who once believed in Jesus and do so no longer. So be it. That's God's business. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. My dear fellow Lutherans, learn to treasure that sentence like a precious jewel. That is your blood-bought freedom. That's what you were baptized into. That is your sonship and your inheritance as a child of God. That's how a sinner stands before a holy God and lives. God did justice to your sin in Jesus. God justifies the sinner in Jesus by grace, through faith, not your works, all for Christ's sake. Abide in that justifying word, and you are a disciple of Jesus. Abide in that word, and you are forgiven. Abide in that word, and you are free. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.